go over in the New Testament to the book of James. James chapter 2, if you would. I had somebody that asked me this morning to slow down in the scripture because I get away from them, so I'll try to do that. But it means we may not get out until 2 o'clock this afternoon. I was just kidding about that part, okay? The last part, anyway. James chapter 2, if you will, in your Bible. It is just so good to be in the house of God. I don't know about y'all, but I look forward to Sunday. You said, well, of course you do. You're the preacher. No, I look forward to Sunday just because I get to come to church, all right? And I'm glad there's a Wednesday night service and get around the people of God. What a blessing it is to do that. We've got folks that are out of town. You pray for them. They'll get back in good shape. And it's almost the end of the summertime. Schools are getting started back up. Our school started this week, and we survived the first week, and we didn't have to kill any students. So that is always a blessing. And now got off to a good start. And appreciate your prayers for our school. All right. You had time to find the book of James. James chapter 2, all right? I want you to look at one verse, all right? Well, actually, let's back up. Let's read verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, I want you to go back to verse 19. Here's the text verse. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now, I'll be honest with you. God used this last, actually a couple weeks ago, I was on Facebook. He said, what are you doing there? Trying to see if I got any word from a missionary or somebody like that. And I see what wickedness people, some people I know get into, and so I can pray for them better. But I was just kind of scrolling down. That's all I do, go on, just scroll down, whatever shows up. And I saw a post there that made a point to say, I believe in God. Now, the idea was that, or at least the idea I took, because it seemed to convey it, was that believing in God was what made all the difference. And I got to thinking, I saw that, and I immediately realized, hey, that's part of our problem today. You say, what do you mean? Well, folks think it's enough if they just simply believe in God. Hey, I won't tell you something, it's not enough just to believe in God. That's not enough. What do you mean, preacher? Well, hey, just saying I believe in God, all that is you're acknowledging His existence. Yeah, does He exist? Well, of course He exists. Yes, He's there. I believe in Him too. But our text makes it plain that merely believing in God is not enough. Hey, the truth of the matter is, all right, just if you say, well, I believe in one God, good for you. But if that's all you do, then you're no better than the devil. Because the Bible said the devils believe that, and they go one further than a lot of people. They tremble at that thought. Hey, you say, preacher, you mean it's not enough? No, that's not enough. We need much more than an acknowledgement that somewhere, somehow, there is a God. We need to go beyond that. You need to do more than just believe in God. Man needs a well-developed relationship with that one God who does exist. You need a relationship with Him. Now, the devil is going to fight you every step of the way if you try and work at developing that relationship. But if you say, well, I believe in God, that doesn't bother him. He does too. He does too. You said, well, what more do we need? Well, I'm glad you asked, okay? Just a few things this morning. Number one, you need to listen to him. You need to listen to him. Now, I put that, thank you, sir, I put that point in on purpose. There are a lot of folks today who believe in God and then like to talk about how I pray every day. I pray every day. And I've looked at some of those folks. One of them I'm kin to. And now, don't look at my son or my brother, okay? It's not them, all right? Now, my brother's got more problems. No, I won't go there, all right? But, hey, I've got some of them that, you know, man, I pray every day. Love to talk to God. And I go, yeah. There are a lot of people, they talk to him, but they don't have much desire to see what he's got. They're willing to tell him, but I don't want to listen to him. Hey, can I tell you, it's not enough just to believe in God. You need to listen to him. God still speaks to men today, okay? God still speaks to men today. Those who refuse or who fail to listen to him are going to pay a tremendous price, all right? They're going to pay a tremendous price because they didn't listen to him. So many today listen to anybody and everybody else. But they won't listen to God, won't listen to him. Look, you say, well, he hasn't spoken to me. No, wait a minute. Don't sit around trying to work yourself into some kind of trance, hoping that somehow all of a sudden you'll hear this voice. All right? If you're waiting to do that, you're doing the wrong thing. You see, God's written, and he's preserved for us a book today. I've got a copy of it right here in my hands this morning. All right? Many of you do. All right? Hey, he wrote this book. He kept this book down through the centuries. You see, this book is the same book that Matthew, when he penned Matthew, that's the book we've got right here. The book right here, we read James 2, verse 18, 19, and 20. That's the words that James wrote back yonder hundreds of years ago. God preserved them. We've still got them. Hey, if it was important enough for God to write it down and to keep it, then we ought to listen. We ought to listen, all right? We ought to listen to him. But not only that, not only just listen to him, you need to believe what he says. You need to believe what he says. I've got a book in my house. Actually, I've got hundreds of them. But I've got one that I'm reading right now. And I was reading a little bit in it yesterday, and honestly, what I read, I wonder if I can really believe this. I wonder if I can really believe what this author is saying. Now, it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be the biography of a person, all right? But I wondered, can I really believe it? Hey, well, I tell you what, you can believe what God says. You can believe what he says. And make no mistake, it's not enough just to believe in God and just to listen to him. You need to take that another step forward and believe what he says, all right? You need to believe what he says. You say, well, what about? Well, believe what he says about sin. Believe what he says about sin. You see, our Bible in the Bible, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17, our Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Here in James, if you're still got your Bible open in James 2, I look over on the other page and I see James chapter 4 and verse 17. And that verse says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Hey, you need to believe what God says about sin. If you know to do good and you don't do good, that's sin. You've just sinned. Don't go around saying, well, I didn't do this or I didn't do that. Well, what did you do that was good and you know you should have done it and you didn't do it? Then you've sinned. Hey, if that still struggles for you, 1 John 3, verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That means God's law. You break this law, you disobey this law, you've sinned. you've sinned. I've heard people say, well, what's sin for me may not be sin for you. And what's sin for you may not be sin for me. That is the mark of a moron, okay? Hey, look, sin is sin, my friend. When you break the law, hey, this law of God's the same for me as it is for you. When we transgress that law, we've sinned. We've sinned. You need to listen. You need to believe what God says about sin. But you also need to believe what he says about the price of sin. Because Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin, that's the price on sin, is death. The wages of sin is death. I mean, you mark it down, that's the price on sin. That's the price that has to be paid for sin. Well, preacher, I just told a little lie. The price on sin is death. Price on sin is death. Well, I don't think he'd make that big. Well, look, what I took was just a little thing. It didn't really cost very much. The price on sin is death. The price on sin is death. Mark it down. That's it. You say, well, I think the price kind of high. You didn't set the price. God did. You need to understand what God says. You need to believe what he says about sin. You need to believe what he says about the price of sin. I'll tell you, hey, by the way, he also says that it's sin when you don't do what God says, that's sin. Hey, men, can I just point this out? Our Bible tells us we're to love our wives. If you don't love your wife, that's sin. Well, she made me mad. Well, go pout for a while, okay? Get in the closet, pooch your lip out, and just have you a pity party, all right? But get over it. You're commanded to love her. Hey, you know what? The Bible says we're to be kind to people. Kindness. Our problem, we look at the Bible and we go, well, I didn't steal. I haven't held up the bank. I've not committed armed robbery. I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, but the other day you were down there at Walmart. And you got aggravated. Started to say you got aggravated at the person helping you, but it's a machine nowadays. But you got aggravated at the machine, and the person that oversees the machines come over, and you were unkind to that person. Hey, do you ever realize that's a sin? Oh, I got mad. Okay, so that excuses everything, right? No. Hey, you need to believe what God says about sin, okay? You need to believe it. You need to believe what he says, too, about salvation. John chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus Christ himself, talking to Nicodemus, said, ye must be born again. Hey, man, real simple. Ye must be born again. Hey, five words. I just can't understand that old King James Bible. You got to be kidding. You understood that. You understood that. Ye must be born again. Hey, if you're not born again, you're up the creek, buddy. That's it, all right? You've got to be born again. You got any hope of heaven after this life? You must be born again. Well, they went to a better place only if they were born again. Only if they were born again. You mark that down, all right? Only if they're born again. You say, well, man, I'll get out of this life and I'll go to a better place. Only if you've been born again. Only if you've been born again. Listen. The Lord made it real plain about sin, and he made it real plain about salvation. He said the wages of sin is death, but if you don't want to do that, somebody else has to pay the price. So I sent my son to pay the price, and ye must be born again to get him to pay that price. Take your Bible to Acts chapter 4, all right? Acts chapter 4 is a verse that I read or use, quote a lot, because it's simple, it's plain. And you don't have to have a dictionary to understand it, all right? Even this old King James Bible. In Acts chapter 4, the Apostle Peter is standing up and he's speaking to the Sanhedrin. And the truth of the matter is he's preaching to them, all right? They've grabbed him, you know, and put him in hold, put him in jail. Now they bring him out there and say, all right, speak for yourself. So he said, okay, here it is. Verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither, now here's the part you better get. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's that word must again. Hey, listen, it's not enough for you to just believe in God. You better listen to what he says, and you better believe what he says. You better believe what he says. He said there's no other way than through the name of Jesus Christ. You've got to come to him, and you must be born again. Well, I'm a member of the church. Well, ring-a-ding-ding. Church members can go to hell. But you don't have to. Well, preacher, you don't understand, man. When I was a kid, you know, I went out in the river and they baptized me and dunked me in the river. Good, but were you born again before you got baptized? Because if you weren't, you didn't get baptized, you just got wet. That's all right? Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's not enough to just believe in God. You got to listen and believe in what he says, all right? You've got to believe it, all right? But now we're going to take it one step further. Stay with me, if you would, all right? It's not enough to believe in God and just listen to him and believe what he says. You say, great, what now? Well, you need to listen, you need to believe, and then you need to do what he says. That doing is super important. Super important, all right? Remember back yonder when I started? I remember it's been a while now. I said to you what we need today is not just to believe there's a God, but you need a relationship with him. You need a relationship with him. That relationship comes from doing what he says. He said, prove it. Take your Bible to John chapter 15, all right? John chapter 15, the Gospel of John, John chapter 15. I want you to look there, John chapter 15. We're going to read one verse, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got a red letter Bible, it's going to be in red, all right? It's going to be in red. John chapter 15, would you look at verse 14? The Lord's speaking here, and he says, ye are my friends if ye listen to what I command you. Does anybody's Bible say that? I know nobody's Bible says that. All right? All right? Does it say, ye are my friends if ye believe what I command you? Does anybody's Bible say that? All right? Do you see what I'm saying? There's more than just believing in God, listening to him, and believing what he says. The Bible says, ye are my friends if ye do. If you do whatsoever I command you. Hey, you say, well, what I need? You need to do what he says. You need to do what he says. It goes beyond, people think, well, I'm okay because I believe in God. No, you're not. No, you're not. You need to go way past just believing in God. You need to put some action in there and do what he says, all right? And just do. You say, what does he say to do? Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what do you need to do? You need to come to him. You need to come to him. Boy, I'm so glad. I was a 9-year-old boy. I came to him. I came and tasted it, and I saw he's good. He's good. I've been in on that now for a long time, about 59 years. I've been enjoying knowing him, and just do, because I did what he said. I came to him, I called upon him, I asked him to save my soul, and he did what he said he would do. He forgave me. He said, well, wait a minute, preacher, you're just a nine-year-old boy. What could you have possibly done? Nothing that you would think was bad. But you see, that's because you and I, as human beings, we got a different view of sin. You said, well, I've done other things, and I've done a whole lot. I don't think he can forgive me. Then he's a liar. Because Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's everybody. That's you. I don't care what you've done. I want to say this to you. If you're a mass murderer, and I hope you're not, but if you're a mass murderer, you're in that all. You can come to Christ. You can come to Christ. I've read the testimony of, if you're old enough to remember the son of Sam, I've read the testimony of that guy, how he got born again in prison. Now, he'd kill people. You say, God can forgive? God can forgive it. If you come to him, he can forgive it. He can forgive you. You have to come. You have to come. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You say, man, I'm struggling. I'm having problems. Then cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, I believe in God. Oh, no, goes past that. You need to do what he says. You need to do what he says. Hey, you can believe in him all day, but if you don't cast your care upon him, you're going to still have to haul it around yourself. You're like the person that said, guy was there on the side of the road, and a fellow's coming along in a wagon. Guy's carrying a big bundle on his shoulder in the wagon. The guy in the wagon said, hey, man, you want a ride? Yeah, I'd like to have a ride in town. So he gets on the wagon, sits down in the seat. He's got his bag on his shoulder, and the guy takes off, and he says, hey, you can throw that bag over in the back of the wagon. It'll be okay. The guy said, no, man, it's enough for you to carry me. I can't expect you to carry my load, too. Well, what a nut. But that's you taking all the problems and struggles that you have in life instead of giving it to him. Giving it to him. Hey, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You're my friend. Man, if you'll just come to him. If you'll come to him, he'll save you. You'll come to him and call upon him, he'll save your soul. You're here this morning, you're carrying a burden, you're burdened down. I'll tell you, if you'll come and bring it to him, he'll give you some rest. He cares for you. He'll take that burden away from you, all right? Now, we're at the tough part of the message, okay? I'm going to lose some of you right now. I'm going to lose you. I know I'm going to lose you. Folks can say, all right, preacher, I'm good. I understand I need to do more than just believe in him. I got that. And you said I need to listen to him. I'm willing to do that. I will listen to him. I won't just talk to him. I'll listen to him. And I'm willing to do that, all right? And not only that, I'm willing to do what he says. I'm going to come. I believe what he says. I believe he'll do it. And I'll come to him. I believe and I'll cast all my cares on him. Yeah, but here's where I'm going to lose you, all right? Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, if you would, all right? Now remember, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That whatsoever takes in a lot. I don't know. I like that song in the songbook, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I love that song. All right? But wait a minute. Are you his friend? only if you do what he commands. You say, well, I'm willing. I told you I'd cast my cares upon him. I come to him. I know, but here's where it gets tough, all right? Look, if you will, in verse 23. And he said to them, notice that word, all. He said to them, all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Okay, preacher, I'm done. You see, this word gets tough. It gets here, and we say, I won't do that. I like hearing about him, and I don't mind hearing from him, and I don't mind believing in him, and I don't mind coming to him and getting rest. Oh, who doesn't want rest? And I'm more than happy to cast my cares on him. But wait a minute. You're telling me he expects me to deny myself? Oh, we don't like doing that. See, we like to indulge ourselves. We like to indulge. We like to do our own thing. That's why a lot of people can't be faithful in church. They're doing their own thing. Doing their own thing. Hey, we're going to take off. You know, we're going to a ball game. And y'all do know they don't play ball games except on Sunday, right? Must be the only time they take them. Because I hear so many people say, yeah, I can't do it. I mentioned Cindy back here rode my bus to Sunday school and for years, and I had a lot of kids. Now, not her, so don't jump on her about this. But I had a lot of kids. I'd go visit them on Saturday, and they'd say, oh, I said, man, look forward. You're coming in the morning, right? We're going to Six Flags tomorrow. Well, bless God, they're open today. Why didn't you go now? Well, preacher, you don't expect me to deny myself, do you? No, but God does. God does. And then he says, take up his cross. Take up your cross. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, you mean I may have to pay a price? You mean I may have to suffer a little bit? That cross sounds tough, man. You see, I told you this word gets tough, okay? As we get to this point in the message, and you're okay until we get here, and then I've got to deny myself, and I take up my cross. Wait a minute. Every day? Every day, says daily, daily, then follow me. Follow me. That means he's the leader. That means he's in charge. That means you're going to do what he wants to do. That means you're going to do it his way. His way. He's the leader. Hey, your job's not to pick the way. Your job is to follow the leader. Follow the leader. Hey, here's where it gets tough. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Oh, listen. Listen. It's not enough. It's not enough just to believe in God. The devil doesn't care if you believe in him. The devil doesn't care if you believe in him at all. Doesn't bother him one bit. Nothing. Now, if you start listening to him, the devil begins to get a little bit concerned. Then you begin to believe what he says, and the devil's going to start coming after you. But when you decide, I'm going to establish a relationship with him, the devil's going to throw everything he's got against you. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from getting saved. When I was a 9-year-old boy, the devil did everything he could to keep me from getting saved. Everything he could. Man, he just, everything. He said, what did he do? Well, he tried to convince me, not now, not now. Wait, it's okay. Wait. The devil doesn't mind if you wait to get saved. Because if he can get you to wait long enough, you won't do it. And he did everything he could. But finally, the day came on that Sunday night that I said, I don't care what you say, I'm going to get saved. That Sunday night, man, I took off down the aisle. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. But after that, I began to try to grow as a Christian. And I heard the Word of God preached and heard the Bible taught by godly Sunday school teachers. And, boy, I began to develop an interest in doing what God said. And then the devil, he fought every bit, every step of the way. And he will you too. He's already whispering to you, that preacher is a nut. He's already whispering on your shoulder, don't believe that. Look, God doesn't expect you. That is just special people that are full-time. They're the ones that are deny themselves. They're the ones that are taking up their cross daily. Listen, God doesn't expect that. You don't have to be a fanatic. The devil feeds you that junk. But what you don't realize is what you're missing. Just what you're missing. Why? The Lord wants that relationship with you. He says, follow me, because he wants to have that relationship with you. Now, he says you got to deny yourself, because you can't have that relationship with him when you're fooling around with sin. You just can't do it. Can't do it. All right? 41 plus years ago, I stood right here, and they played that very particular song, you know, bum, bum, ba, bum, 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 ba, bum. And my bride walked down the aisle here, and her dad gave her to me. He said, I'm glad to get rid of it. No, he didn't say that. He gave her to me, and when that happened, all the other women in the world ceased to exist for me. I wanted that relationship with her. With her. Nobody else. Listen, the Lord wants a kind of relationship with you. With you. Now, I'm not trying to convince you there were thousands of girls weeping when I got married, all right? There weren't. No. All right? But I'm saying to you, the Lord wants that relationship with you. And he says, deny him, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Follow me. And he says, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Can I point out to you, have you got it figured out? That's more than just believing in him. That's more than just saying, yeah, I believe there's a God. Good for you. Devil believes that. Devil believes that. I'm glad you believe it, but wait a minute. You need more than that. You need more than that, all right? You need to go farther. And man, do you have that friend relationship? Now, the devil's sitting on your shoulder saying he doesn't want that relationship with you. He does. The devil's a liar. He wants that relationship with you. He said, I'm a nobody. I'm not important. Join the crowd. Me either. But I can have that sweet fellowship with him, and you can too. You can too. Preacher, I'm not going to be a preacher. Who said you had to be a preacher? Somebody said that. You can have that sweet fellowship with him if you'll learn to listen to him and do what he says. Take up your cross, all right? Will you do what he says? Will you follow him? Would you obey him today? If you don't enjoy that relationship with the Lord today, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. It's available. It's available. Well, I believe in God. Come on, haven't you figured it out? That's not enough. It's not enough. The Lord wants you to go further. You go further than that today. You're here, maybe you believe in him, but you've never really, personally, there's never come that point in your life where you trusted him.